Good evening, and welcome to another episode of The Last Knock. I am Johnny Numb, and joining me, as always, is...
Billy Crash.
Also joining us tonight, the imp of Instagram, the troll of Twitter, the marauder of MySpace, the friend on Facebook? Nah, it's a fiend on film, but he goes by the name...
That's your cue, man.
Oh, that was my cue. I'm supposed to do... I'm not supposed to do any work here. I mean, you guys have reached all new lows to have me on the show. You guys must be desperate for ratings.
We're like, you know what? We aspire to Mad Magazine, but we don't wind up near Cracked most of the time. That's us.
Yeah.
I like Cracked a lot, actually. But anyway.
You know... I knew when you started, when you guys did a show on Stranger Things, that you totally were jumping that shark, and both you guys were on those water skis ready to go. So,
because we brought that up as a topic? Oh, man. Got the
Dave Cade is not like anything remotely popular, and if he listened to the show, he would see that we had a lot of issues with the show, too. But anyway.
Yeah, I know if he listened to it. Dave, man, I cursed him that show more than ever.
I only fast forward to hear my scream out, so that's all.
Bastard! Oh, look, the show's over. Nice having you on, Dave.
Well, in any case, the reason we bought the magnificent Dave K on the show tonight, yeah. He's going to dispense some conventional wisdom on the subject of, hey, conventions. And we're all going to talk about it because we all have, you know, a certain degree of experience.
Oh, yeah.
With conventions. And we're just going to, it's just going to kind of be a general conversation. I think we can start off by, I'm just curious as to, you know, how far does your convention going experience go back? Like, when was your, do you remember your first one and what it was like?
Yeah, definitely. Cause I was in my, you know, New York days and that, and the music scene I was involved with, I met up a lot of people that were really into horror movies and stuff like that. And since it was New York, at the time, this was like the late 80s. So my first convention was really like in like 88, I think. And it was one of the Weekend of Horrors that Victoria did.
Yeah.
Fangoria used to be the Fangoria's Weekend of Horrors was the only game in town at the time. And across, you know, they had them over on the West Coast too, but in New York, that's the only convention there was at the time. And there was a pretty big deal. So my first convention experience was pretty interesting because I had no idea. Friends were like, man, you go in, it's like a supermarket of just stuff, you know? And I'm like, really? I'm like, I mean, I've been to comic book shows and stuff like that, but I never was into like seeing something like that because I didn't know it existed, you know, even though I was in New York for like 4 years, you know, going in and out, like just never, you know, came across it. And once you start going, you know, it kind of gets a little addictive because, you know, once you see this, you know, the first time you go to one, you see the people that you've seen in movies, you're like, oh, wow. You know?
Yeah.
And, I can't remember who was at that first one, but I know I remember like walking in the hallway and like Tom Savini like ran right into me, like, and it was weird. I'm like, holy shit, that's Tom Savini. I'm like, and this is like, you know, and he didn't even have a table there. He was just there, like, you know, in town or something with some other people, I think. And that's how a lot of the early conventions were. Like even Weekend of Horrors, you know, they set it up. They'd have like three big guests. And you didn't pay for autographs. I mean, they spoke and then they had a table and then the people just lined up, you know, meet and greet kind of thing, you know?
Yeah.
And they had like one picture and they signed it and they gave it to you. That's what I guess Fangoria just put up all the money, you know, they put up all the money. But as we'll go on, everything's changed since then. I mean,
it's insane.
Well, I was going to say, Dave, was it just the admission fee to get into that one?
At the time, yeah. I mean, it was like, I think like $12.
Yeah, you know? Okay.
It was cheap. It wasn't expensive. I mean, at the time, it wasn't expensive. I mean, all the money you spent was on, at the time, was dealers. You know?
Yeah.
And then it's, you know, you get the once the autograph creep started coming in, and then it became more of a business. But even then, it was really small and very low key, you know. Mm. You know, as we'll talk about, he just got a little out of hand.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah.
What about you, Bill?
Oh, man, I think it was Chiller. It was definitely Chiller Theater. I mean, I'd gone to comic book conventions in New York City all the time. But it was Chiller Theater 96, and that was my first one. And, you know, first person I meet's Ilsa the Wicked Warden, you know, and she's grabbing my leg, and that was awesome. And
I was at that show.
No shit. Oh, man. You and I probably passed each other
a million times.
And Tim Thomerson, I was talking to him for a while, and it was cool. You know, the admission was low, $10 for an autograph. You know, no one going, oh, I'm special, I'm $100 or more or some crap like that. And it was cool. And there were a lot of people, but it wasn't like it is now where the fire marshals got to stand around and say, hey, if you don't do something, I'm closing this shit down, you know? And, well, now, I mean, because of our experience, Johnny, you and I won't go back to a Chiller, but
right.
Back then it was nice. It was cool. You know, couldn't wait to go back. What about you, man?
Yeah, you know, I think there's definitely a commonality with, excuse me, all of our stories here because, I mean, my first one was a bit later. It was 2004's Horror Find Weekend, which doesn't exist anymore. But that was down in Hunt Valley, Maryland. And, you know, that was kind of to what you guys were saying. It was, I mean, granted, you had the admission cost and you had to pay for autographs. So I sort of missed the boat of not having, you know, to go into a Fangoria one all those years ago. But yeah, it was pretty, you know, I thought, you know, I had stars in my eyes, like Dave Kay was saying, between the vendors room and between the celebrity lineup, which they had, which was actually, I thought, really good and very, you know, very, very much tailored to the horror crowd because mm-hmm. they had Jeffrey Combs. Yes. They had Barbara Crampton. Barbara Crampton was there, and I regret not getting her autograph because, well, you know, she was there. I didn't get her autograph, and then it wasn't until like last year that I finally got to meet her and got her autograph.
Yeah.
But they had like sort of a reunion of the original Dawn of the Dead people, Day of the Dead. George Romero was like the guest of honor, so everybody was lined up to see him. And it was really cool. Like Ashley Lawrence, Doug Bradley, they were all there. And it was just, it was a lot of fun. I, you know, separated myself from a lot of money because you just like start seeing cool stuff in the vendors room. It's like, oh my God, I just got to have that. You know, it's just like, I picked up a bunch of bootlegs that came out legitimately a couple months later. So I was like, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, whatever. But you know, it was really exciting. Like definitely sensory overload. And,
Yeah,
it was definitely an experience, and it was like you said, Dave, it's like I had no idea these things existed until my friend one day said, hey, you want to go to this convention? I was like, sure. So, yeah.
Then the addiction struck.
I still got to see it.
It's funny how all three of us, at least, you know, since a lot of people know I'm from New Jersey, New York City area, and you guys are up from North, so our initial convention experiences were kind of like, it really kind of sprung up from, like, you know, that's like the epicenter of a horror convention was pretty much New York, New Jersey. There was stuff, you know, sporadically over the country, but like back in like the late 80s, early 90s, that's really where, you know, everybody came to,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the conventions, you know, Chiller Theater, my first Chiller was like, I think 92, I think when it was still in Hackensack, it was like at the Fairleigh Dickinson. They had
hell.
It like in a, like they had it in a big, like, you know, I think like the auditorium or whatever like that. It was only one space, mm-hmm. you know, at the time. That's how Chiller started. And then he moved over to by where the Channel 9 building is over there in Secaucus. I was the first of time that they had the bigger shows. And then he moved over to, I guess, over by where Giant Stadium was. There's that hotel.
I can't remember.
It was. And that's probably where that was actually before, I can't remember. I know the 90s was pretty much, you know, over by the Channel 9 building, the caucus, mm-hmm. and that's where
I used to go. Yeah.
They're in Parsippany now, Dave.
Yeah. Okay. I know that. Yeah. And I heard, as based on your two guys, it's like way out of control.
And, oh, dude.
You know, see, the thing with Chiller was, it was always cool because it was kind of still like kind of down homey and like you can meet people, like you can meet people like regular people, like, you know, like I would see you and be like, you'd see a shirt and go, hey man, that's cool, you know, and you start talking, you find you have something in common, and that you still have that ability to do that because it was so kind of small. Yeah. I mean, there'd still be thousands of, not thousands of people, maybe like 3,000 people, let's just say like an odd number, but you'd still be able to do that, you know. And, you know, as it's gone on over the course of now, where like thousands and thousands of people show up, you don't get that because people go to these conventions now so single-mindedly just to get an autograph or buy something and leave. You know, there's no kind of like group thing except for the people that just like to go there to drink and then everybody, you know, it's, that's a whole other thing. But it's just a good thing to meet people. That's, you know, what a convention is supposed to be, you know?
Yeah, you're supposed to convene. Yeah, exactly.
Well, what do you guys attribute that to?
Greed. No, I'm serious. I mean, one of the things that I noticed was I used to be able to take like maybe $100, go to a Chiller, meet, you know, five people I wanted, and have $50 left over to spend on other things. Now, after buying a ticket, you have to go with like $300 and maybe get two or three autographs. And a lot of times I walk by vendors, it's like, well, dude, I wish I could get that. But, dude, that guy who was in that one shitty movie, you know, I really wanted his autograph and he wanted $50. So I can't buy your DVD or whatever, you know, and the prices are just out of control.
That's what it's come to. It's come to like more like in the past, at least 10 years. Who's going to be at the convention? Like, you know, like what's the lineup? Like everybody's so more concerned about the person, the people being there. Now I can understand if like, you know, like recently I wanted to see the Saska sisters and they were supposed to be at a convention here in Atlanta and then they had a bail out and that kind of, I was disappointed because I'm like, well, they're the only people I want to see because I've seen everybody. Like, I don't want to, and I don't, like, you know, you go to conventions, it gets commonplace.
Yes, it does.
And, like, you know, I don't know why people get so excited about it anymore, about a lot of, like, these bigger stars coming, because it's like, well, they're at every convention, you know? I'm looking for those small people, like the people that just, like, you never see or, you know, they're just starting out, you know?
Yeah.
It's more interesting now.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe a question for the, you know, I think I'm with you, Dave and Bill, because that's something that, you know, Monster Mania is the one I go to really regularly. And that's like what everybody on Facebook is hinging on is like, oh, who's going to be the, yeah, who are they going to get next? You know, who's going to be announced? And, you know, what are your feelings about, I mean, do the two of you, like, what do you look for when you go to a con, I guess? And I'll give you, I mean, I can give you my answer then, but it's like, do you want to, are there, like you said, Dave, there, you want to see some of the small people and kind of, you know, chat them up and maybe give them some money for an autograph or, and the vendor stuff, like, and I guess on top of all that, it's like, how do you guys budget for this stuff?
Well, initially, when I started going to conventions, it was always with a group of people. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people would go, we'd have like, you know, five, six, seven people at a group. You know, we would go to Chiller. We would, you know, and see, originally, Chiller never really had like, they had guests, but they never had speakers. So they usually never had like that thing where it would just be like, you know, you go around, that's where you would start meeting people. You know, you meet groups or you meet up with somebody, you know. It was like kind of a weird dynamic. And then like, you know, halfway through the convention, we'd all go to lunch and then come back, you know, and then start seeing what we can buy. Like, you know, cause a lot of us didn't have a lot of money. I mean, I lived on my own. I didn't, you know, I could go there. I was looking for cheap stuff. You know, I was looking for books. I was looking for DVDs or whatever, you know, and we were really into the bootleg scene at the time because that's where you got all your movies. Because you couldn't get them anywhere else.
Right. Mm-hmm.
So we would go and, you know, get the, my friend was really into Godzilla. So it, like we knew at every Chiller, the guy would have the Godzilla movie. We might not have the subtitles, but at the next Chiller, which would be like 6 months down the line, he'd have the one with the subtitles. So we'd buy both. I mean, my friend was so into it. He was like, we got to get this. He knew all the dealers. You know, we know who would be bringing the movies. Because the thing is, you couldn't get them anywhere. These were movies from overseas and stuff like that. Yeah. We're not talking about, you know, the out-of-print stuff and people were just now, like, you know, you got this thing called VHSPS, which bootlegs tapes. You know, they bootleg the tapes that are out of print. But then you got people that actually re-release this stuff and have the rights to it getting pissed off now because, you know, they own the rights.
Yeah. They want some money for that.
At the time, though, it was like, you know, it was a good place to get Asian films, like the John Woo stuff and all that kind of stuff that was just coming out. That we were getting all excited about. The only way you can get it was there, you know. But that's what I was doing. I was more into the vendors. I never really got into the autograph scene. And it was nice to see people. It was cool to see people in that. But every time it used to be, and early on especially, it used to be like as soon as you go by their table, it'd be like, hi, would you like to buy this, 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 this?
And God,
you know?
Yeah.
It used to be really, really, really crazy. But it's changed. The dynamic has changed. It's still a money-making machine, but there's a lot better, cooler people now, you know, like behind its tables.
Are you talking like sort of like C-list people? I mean, Dave kind of asking you for
it. It could have been anybody.
Okay. You know?
But like even like early on, my one of my famous stories that I have.
Oh, let's hear it.
This was like at a Fangoria. It was David Prowse.
Oh, man. First
convention.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know who David Prowse is.
He was Darth Vader. He was at this convention, at this Fangoria convention. And he had a table. He had his autograph for $5. Okay? Wow. He had about three pictures or four pictures. There was not one person at his table at almost any given time. This was sad. I felt so bad for the guy. This is what killed me. I felt so bad for the guy. I almost wanted to give him $5 just to But I wasn't into the autograph. It's just like was sad. But then later on he became like when the autograph scene really started getting pumped up, like later on in the late 90s and early 2000s, he was getting $100 for like $60, you know what I mean? Like crazy money,
you know,
and but it was just weird, like that kind of weird dynamic. I was more for vendors, you know, I still kind of am, but it's just now like vendors seems to be more like what kind of craft people are there, or like what kind of crafty items, you know, that they make. And stuff like, you know,
it's not about movies anymore.
It's not about movies anymore. It's like it's hard to find people selling movies.
Yes.
Like, you know, even legitimate movies, except for now the independent, you know, independent filmmakers maybe selling their movies, which is cool. You know, that's great. That's what it should be, you know.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Bill?
Oh, man. It's funny. I used to want to go to get things at shows. And now what I do is I collect cards from vendors, and I'll just get it by email later because I usually spend all my money on some autographs from people that I'd like to see. Like when we went to Monster Mania last time, you're like, Stephen McHattie, holy shit, you know, and Cleanna McIntosh. And, you know, she was just so endearing. And, you know, because I like to talk to them a little bit, ask them a question about something that they're doing or whatever. And, you know, and I've had really great conversations. And, so I look for that, and then, like, with the vendors, some of the stuff's cool, but, you know, it's almost like, well, I saw, not like at, you know, some major chain or anything, but, like, well, I know this other guy online has it cheaper or whatever. Because, like Dave Kay said, they're bringing out, it's not like you're finding a whole bunch of unique things. You're finding the same things, and a lot of people have it, and it's like, well, what's the big deal? I want to go there to find really cool stuff that I couldn't get anywhere, like the Poughkeepsie tapes. I was looking like mad for that, and one guy was like, "Yeah, I have two copies." I'm like, "Ah!" You know, I was like, you know, I like, and he's like, "Get off me!" You know, and I'm like, you know, and I bought it and I saw it, and then the next thing I know, they're releasing it, you know, finally. But it's like, oh man, I've been looking for that for 3 years. That's what I like. I like those rare finds, but I usually just bring a few hundred and look for some, you know, unique stars that you might not expect. Maybe people are on the West Coast and they don't really travel east too often. And, you know, so I look for them, like Mala Nurmi before she passed away. Unless you were on the West Coast, you know, you'd never see her because she wouldn't come east. So you either had to send her $75 through the internet, you know, through email and say, you know, can I please have an autograph? Or, you know, that was it. So, and I want, you know, those stars to know that, you know, when they travel, like, they're going to be appreciated, you know. And I remember the saddest thing I ever saw. Well, I saw some sad things at Chiller. I saw Soupy Sales after his stroke, and he was not Soupy Sales, and I was like, this guy's being exploited, you know, it's just like,
yep.
It was horrible.
We could talk about that too, that kind of stuff, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah.
The real sad thing was Larry Storch, who mm-hmm. played Agarn in F-Troop. He had his hat on from the show, and he's sitting there, and he's waiting, like, with his pen in hand, he's hungry, like, come to me, and everybody was avoiding him, and I was... But
you were at that show, right?
Yeah.
F-Troop reunion?
No, I wasn't at that reunion, no.
Oh, was that the first time they had it, he was there. They had all the people from F-Troop there at Chiller. That was, wow. I forget what year it was. And I was walking by the table, like, pretending like I was digging graves because it was so sad. Because everyone's ancient. And, what are they doing here? They're just barely, they don't even know, you could see whether they're there or not. You know what I mean? I remember one time at Chiller, the guy that played Uncle Ben for Star Wars, he was there.
Oh, yeah?
He was hunched over the table. They had to put the pen in his hand. Guy was not, I mean, sometimes you got to take a, you know, there's a point where you just do not do this anymore.
Yeah, I saw, you know? Yeah, I saw that with, who's it, Mr. Noonan, you know, Scotty from Star Trek before he died. You know, he was really awful and it was sad. And he was just, it took him 10 minutes to sign one autograph. And I'm like, oh, he should he shouldn't be here. You know, he should be out. It was sad.
The last time I seen Forry Ackerman was like that too. Same thing.
Wow.
The year before he died, he was at Dragon Con. And it was, I was talking to my friend, Bob Burton, who's a artist. And I'm like, dude, I said, he shouldn't be here. He goes, well, at least you could sort of make the funny faces. I'm like, oh my God.
Jeez, that's awful. Oh. But that's one of the things, it's great to see them and they know that this is their, you know, this is their moment. They know that they're loved and respected by these people and they want to come out and that's great. But some are exploitive. I mean, I remember the one year, it was three years ago? Sylvester Stallone was at a convention in New York, and his autograph was $400. And I'm like, what the hell? And he's like, yeah, exactly. And I'm like, he's a blue-collar star, okay? He's loved by a lot of blue-collar people. And it's like, you're going to take $400 from these people? Like, what the hell, man? What more do you need?
Now let's just say one thing. I mean, we understand the cost and all this stuff that takes to get somebody to go to the convention and they have to make the money back and all that kind of stuff. But it's gotten to the point now where we're going into this new stratosphere of thing with the photo ops.
Yes.
And this whole different dynamic now about how to get money, what's the next level, you know? I mean, you know, you see a lot of guests, they're charging $30, $40. That's the average now, you know, for anybody.
Yeah.
And, so now they have to go, well, we need, you know, a lot of people like selfies, you know, everybody like, and that's a big deal, you know, mm-hmm. selfies at a table or whatever. And, you know, a lot of the older stars, they don't even get up out of their chair. They can't. They don't. Yeah. They're just like physically not able to. So now they have the photo op, and the photo op is like the biggest scam for me personally.
Yeah.
Going because it's not personable. It's not, I don't see how anybody who's really like gets so excited over this stuff, you know?
Yeah, I know. I remember, I remember seeing a line for Norman Reedus, you know, who's really cool with fans. He's just like going all over the place to see him.
Uh-huh.
But I can't imagine. I don't know how much he was charging, but I can't. Like, people were on the line for hours. I mean, hours. I mean, the line went for miles. You know, it's insane.
Yeah.
And I don't.
You know. Haven't been to the Walking Dead convention. That's.
No, I can't even imagine. And it's great because this is like fandom to total otaku, you know, the Japanese, you know, crazed fan thing. It's just,
yeah.
And I mean, every time I go to a convention now, it's like it's overloaded with people and you can't even get in. And Johnny and I got ripped off at Chiller Theater that one time. We had advance tickets. And they're like, oh, we're on an advanced ticket line, which was also like a half mile long or something like that. We're like, well, if you want to get in, it'll cost you $10 more.
Yeah.
And we never went back. We're not going back. We're not getting ripped off like that. It's crazy.
Well, you know, the thing is, Bill, with and I mean, I can talk about this too. We can talk about our last convention experience, because mm-hmm. I was at the infamous sort of Waterloo that was the March Monster Mania, in which, you know, that was total chaos, like Dave was saying, kind of like what Chiller became and what you were saying and what we've experienced firsthand with Chiller. Mm-hmm. And I think they flew a bit too close to the sun with it, because it's been growing as a convention over the past, because I've gone like about once a year probably over the past decade to mm-hmm. Monster Mania. I've seen the numbers increase. I've seen, you know, the caliber of celebrity increase that's going there as well. And, you know, it really did feel like Chiller Theater with better guests in March. You know, mm-hmm. it was, and that's what, you know, people I was talking to said, well, yeah, the kids from IT were there, so it brought out this population of 13-year-old girls and their mothers, you know, to this convention.
Oh my God, he's so cute, darling. Oh my God.
Oh, you know what, Bill? You wouldn't believe it, because I actually, you know, to speak to the photo op thing, I got a photo op with those kids, and I know I've gotten shit for doing that. But
Dave Kay, I'm sure.
Yeah.
What the hell are you doing, man?
Yeah, I know. I'm a sellout. Holy. But, you know, I would say that was the reason. Was it was like getting all five of those kids in the same spot, and I actually went and got two of their autographs afterwards when it had died down a bunch. But it was absolute pandemonium, and it did totally lose that experience that, you know, well, back in 2008 or 2009, whenever I first started going there, it was like so much different. You had room to breathe. You weren't throwing elbows to get every place, you know. And, you know, I know people went online, they were really unhappy with what happened, and I get it. But I also, you know, get Monster Mania's right to ignore people who are coming out saying, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. You know, that's not constructive. So,
well, it's not constructive, but they've been doing that convention for forever.
Yeah.
Yep. They should have known. See, the thing is, it's just like when, I'll tell you, the last, not the last time I was at Days of Dead, but like in 2016, 2017 actually, and I was working with my friends at the table that they had for Gator Blade Films and that, and across from us, that's when they had the Stranger Things kids there first time, the only time really, and, you know, there was Saturday only that they were going to have them there, and for two autographing sessions. Now, the thing is, it didn't bring in the horror crowd. It brought in, like what you said, these 13, I mean, these young kids. Mm-hmm. And it was insane. It was like none of the dealers, where the dealers are right across from this going on, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, nobody was, like, you couldn't even get to where we were, because it was like just insanity, you know? And I think in that case, when they want to do an event like that, if they want to bring in these special events, they need to put it in another place in the convention where
a convention just, hall,
like it's unique to that,
exactly.
So that the rest of the convention doesn't suffer, and it does suffer, no matter what the, you know, everybody said, like, oh no, it was so great. No, it really doesn't, because the people that are diehard convention goers, see, they don't, I mean, I understand you want to bring more people in, but you want to bring people in that are interested in the horror stuff, the horror convention, not whatever event you just made. You know, it's like some event that's a temporary thing, you know, basically.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah.
You know, and it, you know, it's really, it's just crazy. Once the convention, they start, like, you see the parents and the families with the baby carriages and all that stuff. It's time to not go to that convention anymore. Start going some, you know, because it's just, that's where it's the beginning of the end. You know what I mean? You know, conventions just go, you know, a little too much. Or they should have a separate convention. Like, if they do two times a year, have one convention where it's a little bit more low key, you know, where people can go and to enjoy the convention instead of having to deal with what happened at Monster Mania, because they overbooked it. Too many guests, you know.
And they oversold the tickets too.
And they oversold the tickets, and that's just not. And then they say, "Oh, well, we weren't allowed to have the tent." Well, you know, Chiller used to do that too with the tent outside, and you know, they planned for that. If the tent wasn't available, they had to like make other arrangements in advance. You know, they knew in advance, like, you know, you didn't just show up to the hotel, "Oh, the tent's not available." Like, They should know this. Yeah. You know? I mean, they've been doing 39 of them. This is the 39th one. You're not rookies. I mean, it's like, it's a lot of it's inexcusable stuff.
Well, I've heard stories that, you know, the guy knows what he needs to do, Kevin, and he's not doing it because he doesn't want to spend the money to do it. He doesn't
That's for Chiller, Bill.
For Chiller, yeah. I'm so sorry. Yeah.
Yeah, I know that, too. That's another thing. It's just like a Dragon Con down here.
Mm-hmm.
Dragon Con is so insanely big now. They still don't want to, like, put it in Georgia World Congress Center. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
When that's where Walker Stalker is. Walker Stalker's in, you know, Georgia World Congress Center because it's so freaking big.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's still insane. It's still, you know, it's uncomfortable. It's insane. It's like, you know, but all these conventions are just too big now. They're just way too big for the original purpose. You know, mm-hmm. right now, it's just a big money machine. That's basically what it is, because you're paying money to get there, parking, before you even get in the door to do anything.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're waiting in line, and you're waiting in line, and you're trying to get through rooms, and you can't get through rooms.
No, but I did see one convention that got it right. And yeah, I think it was their first convention. It was Parafest in 2013 in Bethlehem, PA. They had it at the Sands Casino. They have this giant convention hall there. And their marketing, I think, you know, went awry at the time because the place should have been jam-packed with people, but it wasn't. But they did it. First thing that they did, they had it in the right venue. They had an interesting concept, Parafest, that was paranormal, you know, teams, fringe science, all of that crazy stuff, and mixed in with horror people. So it was really cool. But the thing was, it was empty. The stars were there. Everybody's there. And I'm just talking to Michael Berryman for a half hour, and he's getting bored of me because there's nobody else there.
Yeah.
He really was. He was getting bored of me. I'm like, oh, shit, man, I can't keep this conversation going. You know, Tony Todd, I got the candy from him, which I still have, and we talked for a long time. William Sanderson, I sat down, we talked. I talked with him and his wife, who's just absolutely wonderful. And it was great, but nobody was there. And and it didn't come back. There's a Parafest I know in the UK, but you know, which was sad. But they did the right thing. They got a convention hall, and that's what
they tried. They tried. And look, like we're saying about things get too big. Sometimes things are too small. Even when you're starting, people, they don't get the support right away.
Yeah,
and it's hard, you know, to get that first show off the ground. You know, because people are not sure about it. Well, there's not this guest. There's not that guest. I'm not sure about the location or if it's going to be good or if we're going to, you know. And some people don't show up. Like here in Atlanta, we have Days of the Dead, which is kind of, it's still not huge. It's still pretty small, but it's getting bigger, and it attracts a lot of people. Let's put it that way.
Right.
And they get good guests for people that want that and all that stuff. But we have a newer convention. It's been around for about 5 years called Monsterama. And it's more geared like a Chiller where they're trying to get – it's older people. Like, it's for older people, but it's more for the people that like Frankenstein and the Mummy and all that kind of stuff. So it's like
Universal horror fans.
Yeah, like that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Now, the one they had in the past, I went there on a Friday night thinking it was going to be mobbed because I knew a couple of people that were going to have tables. And then they had Civil Danning and they had Dick Miller.
Wow.
Two guests that you never see anywhere, you know? And there was nobody there. They had people that were there were actually in all the little, you know, panels and stuff like that. There was that stuff going on. But there was nobody there that would be at Days of the Dead. And I'm thinking, well, Dick Miller's like on his last legs. And he's and if you want to see him, you better go see him now.
It's,
right?
It's true, though. Yeah, it is.
And they even told me the people I knew that were there the next, you know, for the weekend said, yeah, Saturday was dead, too. You know, and I was like,
wow.
So it's kind of weird that this is a promoted convention. It's very well promoted. That, like, people are just not showing up to certain conventions. Like, it's just weird, you know? Mm-hmm. And those are the ones you kind of have to support. You have to at least go and try to see, you know, get the lay of the land.
Yeah.
I might go for a couple hours. I mean, I'm not going to go for the whole weekend, but at least I spend my money, you know, for a ticket, you know, go down there, see who's there, you know, and... I'm trying because I think to support the smaller conventions now is the most important thing ever because everything is so huge, you know, and you got to put your money where your mouth is. You got to do these things, you know.
Yeah.
Well, and I think maybe part of the problem, like you were saying, Dave, is people's like eyes immediately turn to like the biggest, you know, it's the pull of the celebrities, I think, especially at like Monster Mania now. That's what, first and foremost, I think that's what most of the people are going there for, is to get their autographs. And I don't know if there are people who just do that and split afterwards now, or and don't even check out the vendors or what.
Oh, it's really, I would tell you, based on who I, from what I know about vendors, of all the vendors that I do know, it's definitely that.
Really?
Vendors, like say, like just as when Walker Stalker did their third convention or second convention in Atlanta, they did it in like the America Smart or whatever, or World, I forget where it was, but it was in a big place. And the thing is, Walker Stalker is a Walking Dead convention. It's not a horror convention.
Right, right.
No matter what people say. So what do they do to get all these vendors that are horror-based vendors into this place, and you don't make a dime because there is like literally 5,000 people online for, say, Norman Reedus or any of the other people. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is a fact. They had Robert Englund in there. Robert Englund's line was about six deep.
Oh!
Time.
Wow.
And I have a picture to prove it. So these people, like, I went there initially. I got a free ticket, so I didn't pay to go into the convention. I just went there and just got annoyed with the whole process of getting there, going through metal detectors, all that kind of
stuff. Oh, Jesus, yeah.
And I just wanted Judith O'Day's autograph because I missed her at Chiller. That's when I was not into autographs, but I wanted to meet her.
Mm-hmm.
I was the first person in there. I was the first one there. Like literally, like, walked up to her. There was nobody there. And I'm thinking, she's in the movie that started all this crap. Like, and like, you know what I mean? Like, and it's just like ignored. Like, you know, everything on that side. Like the one where he had some horror guest, or like I said, Robert Englund's. Like literally, it was like six, seven people deep the whole time.
Damn.
You know, maybe up to 20. You know, and he's charging the same amount of money, obviously.
Yeah, right? Yeah.
But it's not that kind of convention. I mean, people are paying $50 to go to this, to go meet Walking Dead people. You know? So when the vendors are there, I knew people that they won't go back because what's the point, you know?
Sure.
They'll go to Days. They'll go to Days of the Dead because they're going to make money, you know?
Yeah, because a lot of them can't cover the fees that they spent on the table, which could be, man, $300, $500 more, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, Days of the Dead is $275 a table, which is reasonable. It's really a reasonable convention still.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, the other big conventions in our area, or maybe in the Southeast, is like Mad Monster Party now. Like, Spooky Empire is happening in Orlando this weekend. I don't know much about it. I've never been there, but it's a big convention, you know. But Days of the Dead is a very reasonably priced for vendors, you know. So they can easily go there, make money, you know. Stuff like that.
Yeah. And
yeah.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead, man. We're talking. You're just sitting there filing your nails, man. Do something.
Well, they do look really pretty right now. So, but I think it's interesting, like you were talking about, Dave, how Walker Stalker is more of a niche convention. And maybe that speaks to kind of like what you were saying. They were ignoring the vendors. You know, you were saying how when it first, you know, your first convention, it was, or first couple, it was more about the community coming together.
Yeah.
So all of this niche stuff is kind of driving the community, like driving away the sense of community. It's like, it's great if you're a Walking Dead fan or whatever, but are those people even really going to talk to each other? You know, it's like, you know, except when they're online for Norman Reedus. I don't know.
Yeah, and going, ooh, where is this line moving? You know?
Well, you know, when we, you know, Bill, when he was at Chiller, and that was the last time we were there, that was insane. There were lines snaking in an Ouroboros around the parking lot of that building. Like, just nobody knew or anything.
Yeah, people would walk up and just turn around and head out. They knew it was impossible.
Or they would say, you just hear a bunch of people saying, is this the line for? Is this the line for? Is this the line for? Yeah.
Well, the last time, this is an example. See, I came down. One of the reasons I came to Atlanta was to go to Dragon Con, which is the big convention, you know, one of the big conventions in the world. And at the time, it was big, but it wasn't insane. It was still like 24-hour convention. It was like always people around, but it wasn't like what it became, you know. And yeah. Now the last one, me and my daughter went to in 2017 because we're like, you know, it's her last year. She's going to college and we just do this for ha-has, you know. We literally, like, to get into the one building, America's Mart, you started on one corner city block of Atlanta, one city block. You walked around the entire block, like around the entire building, right? Maybe about half a mile to almost the same spot where you started to go into the door to go. And then you had to get on the elevator, you know, I mean, the escalators to go up. So it was like the amount of people that they need to make this, keep the stuff moving is insane because it's like, you know, and then once you get there, you're annoyed, you're exhausted. You get to the vendor room. The vendor room was huge. I mean, it's like there's like, you know, hundreds of vendors.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go there. By the time you get there, you're just not interested in spending any money. It's just like,
oh man. But I got my steps in for the day.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I it's like you get worn out. It's so exhausting, and especially I know Bill, me and Bill's are advanced ages, and that, you know, we're
the fuck are you talking about?
What do you mean we're going to talk about old man? Don't you tell me.
Shit, man. Oh, if you were here, man, I'd be beating you. I'd be beating you down.
Yeah. Big talk.
Oh!
Get a room, you two. Jesus, come on.
Anyway. But let me just say, like, I think a lot of the smart conventions that are popping up now are becoming answers to the big conventions.
Right.
And we do got to support them, even though, I mean, even if it's a couple hours, you go down for, like, you know, to see what's going on, you know, just to, you know, throw $10, $20 their way just to get something going, because it's really important. My friends in Tampa, they started their own convention based on just independent horror films and stuff like that. And now they're going to be into their third year. Now, the first two conventions, the first one was not well attended. We all went down there.
Right.
But it became more, what was cool about it is since there wasn't that many people, everybody became the guests, especially the people from out of town. Like the people mm-hmm. that were there that were in the movies were like, wow, you traveled X amount of to come here, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it became like everybody was meeting everybody and everybody was talking. And then, you know, we all got on Facebook then. Now we all have this huge like circle of people that talk all the time, you know, and then we go to conventions. Now when my friends from Tampa come up to Atlanta, I go down there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's really probably the only thing, a positive thing about conventions now, where you can meet up with your, you know, people on social media that you had never met before in person, you know, and that kind of stuff. That's a real positive, actually, you know, well, but when it comes to meeting
mm-hmm. just
random people, it's probably near impossible anymore at like, you know, big shows.
Well, I think the thing that happens is, like we were saying before, it's like everybody is out for themselves, basically, you know, because it's like you're wading through a sea of bodies to try and look at the vendors and to try and get to the guests. And then you just want to, like you said, Dave, you want to have nothing to do with anything by the time you're done with that. So,
yeah, it's like a hit and run. You know, I know that's happened to, you know, Johnny and I on a couple occasions where it's like just because of the massive amount of humanity, the lack of oxygen, and watching the fire marshal walk around counting people. It's like, oh crap, man, let's get our autographs and get the hell out of here. You know? And
the last time we were at Chiller, I was totally like that. That was there were times when I was actually concerned about getting just smushed, you know, in the sea of people that just was continually moving through that hotel. So
yeah.
And I remember that last Chiller where we got ripped off again, you know, with the extra $10, you and I went through everything and we're like, we're done. Let's get out. So at least two other people could get in because people were just standing out there forever.
You know what the biggest scam about some of that, the advance, you know, getting an hour early or whatever
mm-hmm.
is the vendors aren't even set up.
Yeah.
Like, especially like on a Saturday, the people that were there Friday night, they're up there. They've just been drinking all night. You know,
exactly. Down,
you know, they're not ready to see people. They don't care. There's a start at 10. Okay, the doors open at 11 or whatever, 10 o'clock. Like, you know, they don't want to be down there. Like, the room will be half, there'll be some vendors there ready to go and then some not. You know, I've seen that happen.
Oh, yeah.
I've had those advanced tickets at Chiller once, like in the 90s. Like, my friend would buy it, he bought them for us. He's like, oh, man, we'll go for an hour early. Okay, you know, we go there, and, well, there's nobody set up, really. You know, there's still, you know.
But at least you're inside the building, man. That's like gold.
Yeah,
right there.
I guess, yeah, you know.
Well, the thing with Monster Mania, I think, I believe the extra hour, like advance entrance or whatever, I think that's mostly for the celebrities. I mean, I don't know. I've never done it, and I haven't looked closely enough at it. So I don't. Maybe they do have the vendors set up as well, but I think it's more like let's get a jump on the lines and try and get some autographs.
Yeah. You know, but it gets to be the same thing. You know, not all the guests come down at this. They're not there all the time. You know, sometimes you go there, there'll be a sign that he'll be back at 3 o'clock. Oh, yeah, you're only there 2 hours or 3 hours, maybe. And like, oh well, I missed that person. You know, I can't. You know, and it's understandable because a lot of these guests are getting advanced in their age. They go back to their room to go sleep it off. You know, I understand. You know, it's that's why I say I look more towards the new people that are coming into the scene,
mm-hmm.
where, you know, you get to meet them when they're just starting, instead of like people that, you know, okay, you were in movies, good movies 40 years ago. And now you're in like. Now you're in, like, you know, you got these cameos in these movies where they put your name on the front of the damn DVD box. So, I mean, come on.
You know? House.
But you know what? If people are hard up and they really, really want to see a particular star or something like that, check and see if they're going to a film festival to promote a new movie or something like that, because then those are much smaller audiences.
Yeah.
And I went to... New Jersey Horror Film Festival, and William Catt was there promoting his one movie, and it was great. You know, after he did a Q&A, you know, after seeing the movie and all that stuff, and he had the comic books out, and when you went upstairs to see him and say hi, it was great, because, you know, I asked him a couple questions, and he was like, what do you want autographed? I'm like, well, duh, take whatever you want. And he was giving it away for free because he was happy fans came out to see his movie that he wanted to get distributed. And you know, I thought that was very generous of him. He was very kind, and it was really cool to see him. So you might see a star at a film festival, like you go to Shriek Fest in L.A. You know, run by Denise Gossett. That's phenomenal. That festival, it's just gold. And,
well, more film centric towns are going to have those kind of things, like Austin and L.A. and New York and stuff.
True.
And you do got to go support them when you can. I'm trying to do that here in Atlanta. Like, there's a lot of fests that, like, they're. I'm trying to get more down to more screenings, you know, like, because, you know, sometimes I just don't like going to drive all the way down Atlanta, but I've been doing it lately.
Mm-hmm.
It's cool, you know, but these, and if, like you said, the film festivals don't get a lot of people. Like, literally, like, I was kind of surprised when, like, you know, these big screenings of, like, hot independent movies and, like, 30 people showed up. I'm like, yep. Really? I'm like, you really blew an opportunity here, you know. I mean, it's like, it's kind of weird.
Well,
so you go on.
I'm sorry. Well, what a lot of these people are doing is like, okay, let's start a film festival, and they're trying to launch their social media at the same time. You have to have a social media fan base first.
Yeah.
Before you,
yeah.
You can't promote something to no one, and that's what a lot of them are doing. And that what happened, I think, with Parafest, and I've seen that happen with other conventions and film festivals I've been to. They just don't have that base yet. And so it's like, horror fans, they'll love it. They'll come. And I'm like, dude, did you do any, like, business planning at all? You know? And you have two cosplayers. And, okay, that's great. That's big now. People, they're becoming stars on their own, for crying out loud. And
yeah,
it's, like,
it's true.
You know, it's like, well, that's good. But, you know, no one's coming out to see, you know, Batgirl jump around or something like that. So what are you going to do? I don't even know what I was just talking about. I was just fantasizing about Batgirl, actually. Go ahead, guys.
Well, you know what, Bill? I think that's a good point, because that feeds in that whole cosplay as occupation thing is probably a byproduct of, you know, the Comic-Con and everything. It's like, oh, well,
yeah, sure.
It just started off as this fun thing, and now it's turned it into its own industry, basically.
Oh, yeah. Very early on, there was the living anime girl, and Apollo Smile. Holy shit!
Yeah, I remember her.
You remember? Oh, my gosh. Yeah. She was delectable, and...
That was the 90s. That's like 90s. Yep. Like, it's exactly. Like a whole 90s Apollo Smile. I remember her.
Oh, yeah.
But,
she was yummy, man.
You know, we should, like, now we did talk a lot of negatives now. We should, like, talk about something, maybe, like, who are our favorite guests? Who was, like, the most positive? Let's just talk about a positive experiences that we've had at conventions that, you know, maybe people that, you know, see, I'm going to say one thing, you know, people from overseas that are outside of the U.S. that are listening to this are going to be so pissed off at us.
Yeah.
You know, because we have all these conventions here, and they barely have any
over. I know. You're right.
So, but we got to talk about some positives. So, like, what? Okay, Bill, like Bill and John, like your favorite guests.
Go ahead, you met Johnny. You lead the way, man.
You know what? I was thinking about this, and I've met so freaking many. Yeah. I've got a few, but you know what? I'm going to go back to my first one. I got a bunch. But Angela Bettis.
I would kill, die, and everything else to meet her.
Oh, she's awesome.
And that was the only convention I ever saw her at out of all the ones I went to. I got a nice shot of May, like the video art signed. And it was just fascinating because she was kind of being getting her ear bent by like these two guys who kind of refused to leave her table, I know. And I was like, I'm not going to be that guy.
And that's
why
she's not doing conventions anymore. Bunch of idiots.
Probably. Cause I kept like looming a couple tables away, just keeping an eye out because she was like, nobody was mobbed at that convention. It was like, you guys were talking about the good old days. And when I finally got up to meet her, she was like, she was just really sweet. And she's kind of like, not like her character, like she was going to cut my heart out or something. But, you know, I got that picture signed. We talked for a little bit. And I was like seeing all these tiny little like weird postcard sized images that she had too. Mm. And some of them were from the TV version of Carrie that she was in.
Yeah.
Which I didn't know about at the time. And then there were these other postcards. I was like, what are those? And she was like, oh yeah, that's from the Toolbox Murders remake, which hadn't come out at that point. And I was like, that's awesome. So it was just these little still shots. And yeah, we talked a little bit. It's like, oh yeah, I worked with Toby Hooper and it was great and everything. I was like, that's awesome. And, a bunch of years later I got to meet Camille Keaton, and that was a huge deal for me because, you know, I'm a big, and that was at another horror find, actually. And I'm a huge fan of I Spit on Your Grave and her performance in it. And What Have You Done to Solange and Tragic Ceremony. And
she is so awesome.
Oh, it was, she had it. Her table, like she had so much stuff like you could choose from. She had a huge ass poster with the Day of the Woman title on it.
She's still trying to sell that too.
Oh, really? How much how much was
400.
She? 400. Oh, okay. Never mind.
I told her once when I did see her, I'm sorry to interrupt your stuff. Sure. When I saw her, the time I saw her, I suppose that's when I was working the table at Days of Dead in 2016. So I talked to her a lot because we were right across from each other, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And she's very, you know, we were having conversations that were not horror related. So she was more interested. She was talking, you know, about different things. So when I asked her about the poster, she goes, yeah, I'm trying to sell for $400. And I'm thinking, you should easily get that. But I'm thinking myself that she should have had that, like, I know it would be difficult for her to carry it around in a frame in that, but if she put it in a frame to people that can actually see it, and it won't get damaged over time, you know, because it is a rare poster. I mean, it's like one of those things. I know she had, like, facsimiles, I mean, you know, copies made, but smaller, you know, it's signed. But the actual original poster, yeah, that's worth probably more than what she's selling it for, but I don't think anybody sees it when she has it there really too much.
She definitely had it when I was there. I got her to sign a print of the I Spit on Your Grave artwork and a shot from What Have You Done to Solange. And I got to meet David Hess at that convention before he died. Nice. And that was kind of a big deal as well. And the most, you know what? Ashley Bell, Bill.
I know, awesome. I know, because she called me. She woke me up. What a call.
Yeah, she...
and she didn't charge you for the call. That's so awesome.
Nope, she... Yeah, I started chatting her up about a bunch of stuff, actually, and she was just, like, rolling with it. And I was like, that's kind of rare, because sometimes you get those guests who are, like, just... They'll literally just, like, sign your photo, and that's it, and you're done. Yeah. You know, it's... They have like no interest, or they don't know how to chat people up. But she was like awesome. I could have stood at her. She didn't have a line either, and that was like her first official con.
I'm surprised.
There were like two or three people in front of me, and I was like, oh, I could have stood there all day talking to her. She was great.
I met guys are probably going to die with this one. Angela Bettis at Chiller Theater with Lucky McKee.
He's trying to get back into doing conventions.
Yeah, good.
I hope. I'd like to meet him.
autographed a May movie poster for me. And it was great because at the time I was teaching Frankenstein, a novel, in class, and I was having students watch May and doing a compare-contrast paper. And Lucky McKee was like, what? And so he writes on the poster, you shouldn't be teaching this in class. So they were great. I mean, I met so many amazing people, but my favorite was Steve Railsback. I got there an hour early, and I got in. He was sitting alone at his table. He was setting things up, pulling out pictures from everything from Helter Skelter to Life Force and beyond. And I was talking about Life Force, and we were talking forever. He was just going nuts over the experience working with Peter O'Toole and the stuntman, and which was great. And I said, so what about Matilda May? And he was like, oh man. I was like, then he went on from there. And he was just so kind, so generous, just like William Sanderson. He was just an amazing person to sit and speak with. It was like we'd known each other, you know, for a while or something like that. And it was just very comfortable and cool and normal conversations. It wasn't even about horror. We were talking about Deadwood and its collapse. And, you know, and he said, yeah, I don't know what happened, but because of that, I finally got a house, you know, because of that show. So
he lives in Harrisburg, too. So, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. And Tim Thomerson was great, you know, who a lot of people know from Trancers. And it was great because he was trying to make that transition from comedian, stand-up comedian, to doing movies. And you could tell that he was like, the movie world was not a pleasant experience, and which I've heard from so many people who got in for a while and got out. And I asked out Lee Merriweather, and she didn't punch me in the face, so that was nice.
I've seen Lee Merriweather. I have a I should not even get into that convention story because it's very complicated.
Tell us. Oh, man. You're there now, buddy.
All right, but who else? Because I got a bunch of other – well, I have guests I really want to talk about.
Go ahead. This is your chance, man.
But, okay, speaking of Lee Merriweather. So I had a friend. His name was Dave Shoblin, and he wasn't part of our regular crew that went to conventions. He wasn't part of our crew. He was – normally, he would come for just the autographs. He was an autograph seeker. Mm-hmm. Now, he's the kind of guy that would stand outside Broadway shows in the back and get the autographs, you know, from famous people and stuff like that. So he had binders of everybody, like, you name it, he had a lot of it, so many people. So he told me, he wanted me to go with him to this autograph show. It was specifically an autograph show down where, I forget where it was, but it had like one of the kids from the Little Rascals. Obviously, he was like 80 years old at the point. But the big deal was, and most of them are dead, so I could talk about them, I guess, was the Batman reunion at the time. This was like the 90s. And it was Adam West, Burt Ward, Frank Gorshin, Lee Merriweather, and John Astin. So this is the thing. Here's the scenario. We go to this convention. There's all this autographing going on all over the place. So it's whatever. There's all different people there. But this was the main event. Now, it wasn't that crowded, so it was like a thing, you know, you go to the table, and that was a long table. Now, my friend just wanted John Astin. He said, that's all I need. We're here for John Astin. But John Astin was at lunch. We're in the middle. So John Astin was seated in the middle table. Now, the weird thing is what I noticed, I said to my friend, I said, well, okay, Adam West is all the way over there. Burt Ward is all the way over here. Why is that? They don't like each other. So he's telling me this story because he's really pretty knowledgeable about what's going on at, you know, different autograph scenes and stuff. So the thing is, it costs maybe $50 to get Adam West's autograph and Burt Ward's autograph on separate paint pictures. But if you wanted it together, it costs $250. Because A, they didn't like each other, and B, you get $1 million. I mean, you get so much money for that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there was a long-ass line on one side for Adam West, a long-ass line for Burt Ward on the other side. And in the middle, here we are, three people deep in for John Astin, who's not there right at the moment. But next to him is Frank Gorshin. He was signing.
Oh, man. And the American
signing nice people, talking nice. They were very professional. You know what I mean? Like that professional. And then John Astin shows up and, like, was the coolest person ever. I mean, he was just like, I'm sorry, guys. I had to go get some food. You know, he's like, really nice. You know, everything. I was like, oh, and you just meeting John, you know, Gomez Adams. I mean, it was crazy, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he got his autograph. But we were listening. But in the meantime, we got to hear all the different weird conversations going on between the Adam West and the Burt Ward people. I mean, it was insane. But that was one of the craziest experiences I ever, you know, went to see. But the guest, my favorite guest, would definitely right now, I'm just going current, is PJ Souls.
Mm. Oh, I love her.
The thing is, for me, I was never into autographs. I really got shy around people going up to tables because I never liked the whole hard sell that I used to experience.
Mm-hmm.
And never would like to go up to people. So when I was at Days of the Dead and I had my table there, I knew she was going to be there. And I was waiting to the end because I didn't want to get an autograph. Wasn't sure if I wanted to get an autograph, but I wanted to talk to her. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I went up to her the first time. I was like, okay, I just wanted to say you're very important in my life, very big fan because Rock and Roll High School and all that stuff like that. And so, you know, she's going, yeah, that's cool. I said, and, you know, I was at your first convention appearance at Chiller Theater. And she was like, you were there? And she spoke. And I was like, she goes, you must have been a kid. I'm like, nah. I said, no. I said, she goes, you're not. What? She goes, you look about 35. I'm like, I had to pull out my wallet and show her how old I was. And she says, oh, my gosh. I was like, but that was funny. So it really broke the ice well. And she said, but I think you'd want a picture with me, right? And I said, yes, I really like. So I got a picture with her. So what happened was I was determined to see her as much as possible. Like I got to see her at the Mad Monster party like a couple months afterwards. And I walked up and I go, hey, you remember me? And she's like, I remember your face. She's like, I remember everybody's face. I said, I don't remember your name. So I was telling her and I had her autograph my Rock and Roll High School DVD to Dave Kay. I'm your number one fan, PJ Souls. So it was awesome, right? And another picture in that. So then, but the funniest thing was when I saw her the following Days of the Dead, I came up to her. I looked at her. I said, you remember me? She goes, I remember your face. And I know you. it was funny because, you know, her husband, James, travels with her and he's a really cool guy. So it was, you know, talking, you know, they're the coolest people and she's the coolest guest because she charges 20 for her autograph. That's it.
Yup. Mm-hmm. Yup.
And she just loves it. She loves the people. She loves being around. She loves doing the events. She loves taking pictures with people. She loves it. That's what I like to see.
Rock and Roll High School.
I was like, the next thing I gave her to sign was my Breaking Away Blu-ray. And she's like, I'm not even in this movie that much. She goes, you know, I said, look, I said, you have screen credit? And I said, I can tell you where you were in this movie. and so she was, you know, she was very happy to sign it, though, because she was like, she thought it was different. You know, nobody was bringing her stuff, you know, crazy things like that.
Go ahead, finish it, Dave.
I was saying, and like what John was saying, Camille Keaton is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen everybody. If you name a person, I've seen them at conventions. So it's like, it's kind of like so commonplace to me. I can't even like say, like, I know who was a-holes. I could tell you want me to go down a list, but maybe we should be more positive because I'm trying to be positive here. You know, or the best guests that I've seen.
Yeah.
Well, you know, Dave, I kind of have a funny story about someone signing something that didn't have a lot of their involvement in it. I met Adrienne Barbeau and I got her. She's on the poster to Rob Zombie's Halloween. I was like, sign this, please. I know your scenes were cut, but could you just sign it? Because I was collecting signatures of the people who were in that because that poster is awesome for that. It was like, oh, all these, you know, all these, it's this photo collage of all these actors and stuff. So I was getting, for a while, I was taking that to conventions, just getting people to sign next to where they were on the poster. So,
yeah, but the best thing, what you do is, the best thing to do when you go to conventions is to approach guests. You bring them something different.
Yeah.
Don't bring them the same crap. They get bored with that. I'll tell you the best, one of the best convention experiences I did have, when, and it was at that damn Walking Dead convention. I forget, what's his name? I can't remember his name offhand, so I can't go through that story. That sucks. But another friend, I can't remember. I'm like old. Okay.
What's he look like?
Hold on a second.
Yeah. Okay. We'll just like dead air, man. It's awesome.
I want to hear the story. It sounds like it's good. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, actually,
Jeffrey Combs
is
cool too, man.
Yeah, and when I finally got to meet Barbara Crampton, she was like a total doll.
I can't believe I had to just jump off like that. Okay. Yeah. So, what's his name? Now I got the wrong glasses on. I can barely see the back here.
Oh, brother.
You know, I'm really bad with this kind of stuff.
That's okay. You're making us look good, so I'll take it, man.
Oh, yeah. You guys are way better than me, that's for sure.
You're like Buck Henry and the Man Who Fell to Earth, I
Buck
think.
Henry! Oh,
with
man.
His weird-ass glasses, yeah.
Fuck. And his name's not even on the DVD. That's really pissing me off. Anyway, you guys go on.
yeah, I guess we're near closing it out. Johnny, you got to tell us something.
Well, I want to hear this story.
What
God
movie was this person in, man?
But in any case, I've seen every. See, the thing is, I've been around the convention sequence scene for so long that I've seen everybody, every guest. I've heard every story. I've seen terrible guests. I've seen good guests. I mean, and it's just crazy how it's come like to this point where everything now is just in the stratosphere with when it comes to like money and you know.
Yeah.
It's just weird.
Well, yeah, I think there's... Go ahead, Bill.
No. Real quick, just so you know, I met Batman. I met Adam West and Burt Ward at Chiller Theater. They were sitting next to each other. And it was only $75 to have them both sign the one picture.
Wow, they must have went down. They must have been getting desperate.
Well, and this was after Frank Gorshin died because they had autographed pictures of Frank Gorshin that you could have with Adam West, and that would have been like a total of $125. But I was like, I'm running out of money here. I can't do that today. But sorry, go ahead, Johnny.
All right, I got the guy's name.
Oh, okay. Let's hear it. Then, Johnny.
Lawrence Gillard. Okay.
From The Wire?
Yes, that guy.
Oh, okay.
Anyway, I'm so enamored with the first movie, Straight Out of Brooklyn, that he was in. It's from 1991. It's like a, you know, urban drama and that. And I went to convention, the Walking Dead convention, with this DVD just so he could sign it because that's what I wanted, right? So when I went to the convention, now he sees thousands of people.
Yeah.
And he likes to hug people. He's like this real close guy. He likes to really be nice to everybody. So I had the DVD in my hand. I go up to him and he's like, hey, man, what's up? And then he looked down. He was like, yo. He's like, where did you go? He was like, no one has ever brought this for me to sign. This was the first time. He actually took a picture with me. They were charging pictures. He took a free picture of me just because I had this. And it was like a really good experience because I was telling him, you know, how this important movie to, you know, and I said, I don't know what you even do on The Walking Dead, to be honest with you, dude. I said, I just wanted to get this.
No, but you're right. I mean, when I was talking to Tony Todd, when I met him, and you know, he owns the room. When he walks in, he was very cool. He's signing stuff, and you know, when he was just like, you know, people getting the Candyman stuff, and he's handing out candy. And then when I brought up, man, I really loved your performance in The Man from Earth, and that's a science fiction that few people know, independent. Incredible film, and boom, things changed, and we had a really good conversation after that. Same with Lisa Marie when I'm going up and she's signing stuff, and you know, she's nice. And then I said, man, I loved how you hosted Exposure on a Sci-Fi channel. It's the best show they ever had. Then everything changed, and she's talking about how great that show was, the crew, and we ended up in a great conversation. So you're right, man. Go with the unique stuff.
Yeah, you always had to do that. That'll make your convention experience for, you know, a little bit better.
Yeah. Well, but definitely plan ahead, man. Everybody's got to plan ahead.
Yeah.
Get there early.
You know something? The last Monster Mania I was at, and this was another guest who was like had three people in at her table. It was like this huge gap where there was like nobody, and then there were like all the It kids, which was like a cattle chute basically on the other side of it. And it was Sharni Vinson, and she was like the three people in front of me, they all got shots of her from You're Next, but I got a shot of her in a house on Willow Street, which I like. And I was like, she was great because she had a story for each person who came up to her. You know, the three guys who got Your Next stuff signed, she had a different story to tell them about Your Next, you know, like behind the scenes. And then she was like talking, it's like you didn't have to do anything to break the ice. She just started talking to you, which was awesome, because I usually feel like that's maybe with the celebrities who are a bit older and past their prime, they may do that a bit more. But with the younger ones, I feel like that's a little less typical, where they're like chatting you up kind of, and then you get into it. So
But Pollyanna McIntosh, she's such a sweetheart. We had a really wonderful conversation, but before that we all waited patiently online because a young boy, I'd say he's about 12, he said, can I just ask you a question? And she didn't ask for any money or any crap like that, and she said sure. She spoke with that boy for 15 minutes. And we all waited patiently, and it was worth the wait. And she was just a really wonderful, personable human being, and it was just great to speak with her a little bit. And I asked her questions about the woman, you know, preparing for that role, and you know what she thought of it, and it was just fantastic.
Yeah, one thing you do, it's a really important thing for you to do when you go to conventions, is bring a kid with you. I tell you, a kid will open doors to guests. Like, my friends brought their kids once. They would see the Matthew Gillard, Lillard was his name? The guy from Scream.
Matthew Lillard.
Lillard. Okay, so anyway, they're in line. They were like five or six people behind the people in the front. And he saw their kids. He was like, hey, you come over here. You guys get up here first. cut the line. Just go up. And then, you know, and it happened with my daughter and everything too, because my daughter would be like, you know, I'd take her to Dragon Con or take her to other couple of conventions, and it would be like people would just stop, be like, oh my gosh, like, and you know, it'd be like the go right to the front of the line, get a free autograph, get like, you know, it's
oh crazy. Man, well, dude, I'm bringing somebody's kid next time, so if
it's cool, you know, kids like it, you know, you don't want them too young because it's like, you know, but if they're at a certain age where they might appreciate it. You know, it's good. It's good. It's definitely good to bring him.
Yeah,
actually, I actually met Matthew Lillard a couple Monster Manias ago, and he was like, his line was kind of long, and it was taking a little longer because he was taking like probably 2 minutes or so to talk with each person and get photos. And he was like, he was very personable. He's kind of like, he was kind of like his character in Scream, kind of. So, but you know, because you know when I didn't get a photo with him because of the cost, but I was like asking him, hey, what was it like to work with Uwe Boll on In the Name of the King? And he was, at first he made it sound like, yeah, it was really wild, man. And then I asked him, oh, would you work with him again? And he gives me like this really sideways look. So I was like, okay, I know the answer to that.
He's like, I'm doing conventions instead. Okay.
Yeah, I would rather wait in line. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh man.
Well, I wanted to ask you, Dave, since I think we're going to wrap it up here. Do you want to talk a little more or just give a shout out to any cons down south? Because I know Billy and I can only speak to kind of the Northeast here as far as what we have to offer. So,
I can only talk about what I've been to. Okay. You know? In every place, every convention has its pros and cons in that. But my favorite convention, right, to go to is Days of the Dead. Now, Days of the Dead Atlanta, they do conventions a few places in the country in that. Now, I have a love-hate thing with it because if like nobody, none of my friends, I like going when I know people are going to be there. You know, if I know people. Right now, I'm at a stage in my life where conventions aren't that important to me anymore. Mm-hmm. But if people are going there, I'll definitely go. You know, I mean, I definitely want to go meet people that, you know, online that I've known online forever and I haven't met, or people I have met. You know, we go and we you know, do things together and stuff like that. Days of the Dead is really a really still a good convention to go to. The Monsterama, I just hope that they can get out of a, they can get to like a little bit up out of the level that they're at, but I still go. My friend's convention, Tampa Bay Screams, which is now going to be the third one this year, and they're really amping it up with, they're getting some guests that are like more cult oriented.
Dave, is this the one that Linnea Quigley is going to be at?
Yes, yes.
Oh.
Yeah, a lot of, and I, from what I understand, he's got some other guests that he hasn't announced yet that are, he's slowly bringing it out. But see, that convention is still not a guest-oriented thing, like I said. It's more about you going down, meeting everybody, talking about movies, buying movies, because movies, it's a very movie-centric convention where every dealer, almost every dealer, has movies to sell.
When is this?
You know, whether it's an... What?
When is this convention?
The Tampa Bay Screams, and it's going to be in August 25th this year.
You want to go, Bill?
Show. It's a one-day show. It's a one-day show.
Love to.
And I guarantee if Lynn is there or whatever, you're going to be hanging out with them, because that's that kind of a convention. It's more like very loose. You know, it's very cool. Because it won't be super crowded. I mean, I don't even think, even with the guests, I'm hoping people go, because I think it's really important. And it's a really good show, because the people that put it on are really cool.
Right.
Excellent.
They're trying. And they're really trying. They're really trying. So it's worth going. You know, it's worth going down for the day. You know, there's a film festival going to be going on with some of the movies that, you know, they'll be sold at the convention. And plus, the directors will be there of those movies. So August 25th, 2018, Tampa. You can look it up, Tampa Bay Screams online. You find, you know, information on it. You know?
Awesome.
Let's fly down, Bill. Let's do it.
Oh. I unfortunately can't go this year.
What's the point?
My daughter is going to be going to New York to school, and I have to. That day is going to be her first day, so it sucks. But you know,
well, dude, let's hang out with Dave in New York.
Promotion and artwork for it, though.
Yeah, you know? Let's go. We'll meet you in the city, man.
Well, it's a little outside the city.
Oh, he doesn't want to see us.
Tampa. It's in Tampa. You will see Tampa.
Hang out with you in New York.
Quarantine zone.
But if you do go, down there, you get to go to Grindhouse Video, which is in the area, and that is the best video store, like, you know, to buy stuff on the planet right now. So,
I've bought stuff from them online because of You're the one who made me aware of it. Yeah.
So. And Mike's a really good guy. He works really hard, and like, he's, you know, putting the time in, and this is what his passion is to do. And people should order, you know, from a place like that or Diabolic or anything like that. But if you go down to Tampa Bay Screams, you go see Grindhouse Video, and you're going to, from every, people travel all over the world to go see that place. So
Grindhouse Video.
You know? You know, Dave, I watched the video of his where he was like showing this new storefront he got.
Yeah.
And I was like, it was like 20 minutes long, and I was just watching with my jaw on the floor, basically.
Yeah, it's like, it's a great, I love that video. I love seeing, like, you can't go, if you can't go, you're like, oh my gosh, you know?
Part of me is glad I can't go, actually.
Yeah.
Gotta bring $10,000 with you.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Awesome.
And that was before the store was even completely filled in, too. And I was like, oh, my God, all the additional shit he's going to put in there. Yeah,
it's crazy. He's, you know, I'm he's going to be at Spooky Empire this weekend, which will be in Orlando. He'll have a table there. So
nice.
You know, that store, like I said, you know, down here in a Mad Monster Party in Charlotte, you know, it's really cool, too. I like that. I really did like that convention. It had its own vibe, you know. It did. I didn't go to this past two, but the one I went to a couple years ago was pretty cool. Other than that, I don't know much of the other conventions. I mean, I know there's some smaller ones, or there's one like steampunk one. There's like always something in Atlanta, like some weird little convention in that. But when it comes to horror, it's like, you know, that kind of stuff, those are really the only, you know, like Days of Dead and Monsterama and Mad Monster in this area.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Cool.
Well, gentlemen, I have immensely enjoyed this conversation, and I think we solved a lot of the world's problems in the process. So,
Are we going to get the Nobel Peace Prize for this? Or some kind of prize?
Because that comes with a lot of money. We can make a fucking movie. Sorry.
I think Billy and I deserve the Nobel War Prize for when we go off sometimes, but in any case, Dave, where can people find you on the internet, and what are you up to right now?
Well, right now, my main focus is doing small press stuff. We're doing like a lot of print material, like print fanzines and that again, with a bunch of people. And I know Johnny and both you guys have been involved with some of the stuff already. And
thanks to your invitations.
But the what?
Thanks to your invitations, man.
Oh, I try to be all inclusive. Yeah. Which it's good because I don't write well, so I like to have everybody else write, and then I'll just put it together. That's what I tell everybody. But right now we're doing a thing called Asian Cinema Takeout, which is an ongoing fanzine. Now it's gonna be very small. Ooh. 20 pages that really small short reviews and a lot of graphics and everything on that, just Asian movies, mostly cult, horror, perverted stuff, you know, like smut, all that kind of things, you know. You don't want anything like, you know, pretty mainstream in there. It's really, really grimy, some of it.
Awesome.
But we, you know, I think you guys both got an issue. I don't know, Bill, if you got yours or if I sent one to you yet. I might not even have your new address. I think I do, but I know Johnny may have gotten it already.
Yeah, I got mine yesterday. Thanks.
And
I didn't check my mail yet.
What we're trying to do is make something that comes out quick and it's small, so like I can send it out cheaply and then everybody can get it, or they can just download a copy. That's basically.
Yeah. Okay.
And then we recently did the the David Cronenberg thing that both you guys were part of too.
That was awesome.
House of Skin, which is in David Cronenberg's hands right now. I do not know any more details, or I do not know any response yet, but it is definitely in his hands.
Dude, that's killer, exciting. Man.
Yeah.
So
man, what a title.
Some people really helped me out. But I'm on, you know, I'm on Twitter at a Phenom Film, like, you know, you announce graciously most of the time. and when you don't announce it, I get kind of pissed off, but, and I'm also on Facebook. You can just Dave Koenig, Dave Koenig, you'll find me, you know, see, or go to any of your guys' page. You can, you know, link through there or whatever.
I think it's funny because it's like every time Dave leaves some inflammatory comment on my Facebook, I'm like, it always comes up on the next show. So I see what your strategy is.
Yeah.
Yeah. We keep mentioning him every show because of that. So, yeah.
Well, you know.
poking the bear, huh?
Hey, but hey, that's pretty awesome, though, that The Addiction is coming out in a nice edition soon.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, finally. My jaw hit the floor when I was like, I was so excited.
I need to pre-order that thing.
I don't get excited about any movie coming out, like, you know, because it's just like, okay, another movie. Like, these people spend way too much money on stuff, but that, yeah, because it's never been released here in the States. So I mean, you know,
yeah,
you know, that's a good deal.
With the way you guys are going on about it, I'm really excited to check it out.
Yeah, but they're also going to have like a lot of different. There's going to be some special features that are probably be pretty important to the film.
Mm-hmm.
So you know. We'll see, but the most important thing is the movie's being released in America. That's all I care about. You know,
yeah.
It's like that's, you know, to finally get a disc of it.
Yeah, it'll be getting out there to people like me who have never seen it. So,
oh my god.
What about you, Billy? Or should Dave tell people where to find you on Twitter and everywhere else?
You can find me at CrashPalaceProductions.com. On Twitter, it's Crash Palace. Instagram, it's Billy Crash. And when you go to the website, CrashPalaceProductions.com, you'll find links to this site as well as articles from wonderful people. And I hope I get one from Dave K, even though he doesn't like to write.
I can't write. You know that.
Right, that's right.
I'm a sixth grade level writer.
That's fine,
you can
man.
You can draw an article, Dave.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll post it in crayon. I don't care. That's about it. And Johnny, I guess it's you now. And check us out on iTunes, of course. Go ahead.
Please, yeah. And you can find me on Twitter and Letterboxd at Johnny Numb. There are no H's in those Johnnies. And you can also find my reviews over at loudgreenbird.com with the great Frisco Kid TX and Dixie Fairy. So, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
Love now, it. If you guys will excuse me, I got to elbow my way out of this madding crowd.
That's true. So
yeah, it was great. It was great talking to you guys about this subject. You know, I mean, we only like touched lightly on it, and you know, there's, and we do really do. I think all three of us really do like conventions in one way or another. We've been doing it for so long, but I think maybe in my sense, I'd be a little jaded because I've been doing it for too long. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like, you know, I encourage people to go, like, you know, if one's in your town, just go, just check it out, you know, especially if you're new into horror films or, you know, the kind of, you know, weird cult movies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you just gotta try, check it out.
And I think something I noticed at a Monster Mania actually this last time was there was a John Carpenter was there, and there was like a huge line the whole time, the whole day on Saturday for him. And I was like, I got his autograph like 10 years ago, but I keep having to remind myself, hey, this is probably a lot of people's first convention, so that's like a huge thing for them. Whereas, you know, I'm like, I've been there, but it'll probably be cool to be like back in that spot where you're meeting him for the first time. So, yeah.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right, gentlemen. I think it's that time for everyone to leave the convention and get the hell out so we could count our money and plan for next year.
Bill, I think the fire marshal is shutting our show down.
Yeah. Get out of you shits! Get out of here!
All right. Hey, Dave, thanks for coming on again.
Yeah, man, appreciate it, bud.
Oh, man. Thank you.
All right, bud.
Bye.
Good night.
See you guys.